God, we are blessed this morning to be able to come before you, to have our hearts pointed in the right direction. I pray that we would lean heavily into you and to recognize that it is the birth of Jesus that has changed this entire world. As we seek to honor you with everything that we do, I pray that we would remember that it is all about Jesus and Jesus in our lives. Bless our time here. I pray that you bless every single person here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand and worship together?
Let's worship our God and King. Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lonely shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. Let's sing it out. I bring an offering.
I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
Sing, the sun cannot compare.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love.
There is no shadow in your presence.
No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne,
before the Holy One of Heaven.
It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come.
I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
I bring an offering.
I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
I bring an offering to you. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature. creatures sing.
Joy to the earth.
Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of wonders of his love. And wonders, wonders of his love.
You can have a seat. Every week we've been celebrating the advent of Jesus. Advent is simply a word that means the coming. And so we want to recognize and celebrate the coming of Jesus in two ways. One is his birth 2,000 years ago, but also his second coming in the future on a day that no one really knows when that is to come. But until that day, we celebrate every year with Advent candles. And so we've been inviting folks up to light candles to represent different themes of the Christian faith and to share a little bit about what that means to them and to encourage you in a little small way. So I want to invite Anthony and Vivian Tin and their children up to do that for us this morning.
Advent. Advent is a word that means coming or visit. In the Christian season of Advent, we prepare for the advent of Christ at Christmas. This morning, we continue to light the Advent candles as we move towards Christmas and the birth of Christ, Holy God made flesh. Today, we light all the Advent candles. We light the candle for hope because Jesus is our ultimate source of hope. We light the candle for peace, because Jesus is our Prince of Peace. We light the candle for joy, because Jesus brings everlasting joy. We light the candle for love, because Jesus is God's love incarnate. Lastly, we light the Christ candle as we celebrate the birth of Jesus the Christ, the light of the world, our wonderful, redeeming Savior. We remember that Christ alone is our ultimate source of hope, peace, joy, and love, and that he is God's perfect love incarnate. We remember that out of darkness, light shines. The true light of life, whose love overcame darkness, and whose love is our light, both now and forevermore.
Sacrifice, to give up something important for a good reason. God has blessed me and my sister and brothers with loving grandparents and many aunts and uncles who love us very much. I want to tell you about my Uncle Harry today. He sacrifices a lot of his own time to be with us and help out. Firstly, when my mom goes to work at night, Uncle Harry will come and spend the night with us. When my youngest brother Arnon was a baby, Uncle Harry would have to hold him the whole night so he wouldn't cry, and Uncle Harry would not sleep the whole night. Secondly, when Uncle Harry eats with us, he will sacrifice eating so he can feed my little brother first and take care of him. So usually, Uncle Harry will eat only after everyone is finished eating. Lastly, every Thursday, Uncle Harry will leave work early to bring my little brother to a toddler class. So usually, Uncle Harry will then stay the rest of the day playing with us. He would only return back to work in the early evening to catch up on all the work he did not finish that day. I am thankful God bless us with Uncle Harry because he loves us so much, he gives us his time.
Let us pray. God of love and light, who revealed yourself through Jesus Christ, we light these Advent candles, remembering his birth and anticipating his return. We thank you that the light of life has entered our broken world to bring victory over evil, suffering, and death. Fill us now with the light of your life, love, so that we may live for your glory. As we rejoice in the birth of your Son, may we worship him, welcome him, and make room for him in our hearts. Amen.
Thank you very much. Every Christmas, I have the honor and the opportunity to give a short children's sermon. Not quite my forte, but I do the best I can. So I'd like to invite the children to come up on stage and join me. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life. So, perfect, thank you. And so it tells us that God loves you so much, that God is your true love. Right? He loves you perfectly. And so he gives you a gift, and that gift is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never gets old. He never gets boring. He never breaks down, right? And so Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. And so when you, sometimes when you're confused, God helps you think through things. Jesus helps you think through things. When you feel alone, Jesus is there all the time. When you feel sad, Jesus helps you and sits by you. When you want to help someone, Jesus helps you help that other person. So getting stuff for Christmas is really good, but getting Jesus is better than stuff, okay? So think about that when you start opening your presents this year, that Jesus is better than all your stuff. Okay, let me pray for us. Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you give us the gift of Jesus, that Jesus is a gift that we will never forget, that we will never put aside, that will always be with us, and that we'll never get bored with. So we thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, children. You're dismissed. Be careful of the table, please.
As we continue our worship service this morning, would you please stand with us as we read these Bible verses. Isaiah 7:14. The Lord will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone.
Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be up upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore.
Rejoice, Emmanuel.
come thou day spring. Oh, come thou day spring, come and cheer. Oh, Spirit, by thine advent here, and drives away the shades of night, and pierce the clouds and bring us light. Rejoice! Shall come to thee, O Israel.
Rejoice,
rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Shall come to thee, O Israel. Shall come to thee. Shall come to thee, O Israel. You may be seated.
In Luke chapter 1, 46 to 55, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever."
All the poor and powerless, and all the lost and lonely, all the thieves will come confess, will know that you are holy, will know that you are holy, and all will sing out hallelujah. We will cry out hallelujah.
All the hearts,
all the hearts who are content, all who feel unworthy, all who hurt with nothing left,
and scream it from the mount. Come on and tell it to the masses that he is God. Sing that again, shout it. Tell it to the masses that he is God. Yeah. Sing that again. Shout it out. And shout. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell.
Verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heaven. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glorious streams from heaven on high. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure. Face where Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. There were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Let's stand
as we sing "Angels We Have Heard on High."
Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joy.
Here we go, glory.
Shepherds.
Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song?
Matthew 2, verse 1 to 2 and 9 to 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels bring with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and
If I don't know you, my name is Pastor Jack Lum. I'm one of the pastors here at Golden Gate Christian Church. I want to welcome you, particularly on this Sunday, this special Sunday. Would you please stand and say good morning to one another and introduce yourselves? One of the things that we do at this church to continue our worship is to take up offering. Offering is the privilege and responsibility of those who call themselves followers of Jesus. So if you're visiting with us this morning, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you can just let the bag pass. You're under absolutely no obligation to give. Let me pray for our offering. God, we thank you for providing for our needs. And we know there are great needs, not only in our church, but for this world. And so we ask that as we give generously so that you would be able to use them to meet people where they are and what they need. In his name we pray. Amen.
Savior of humanity, come to
you had to write a book with a plot where the person, the main character in the book, saves the world. I mean, you might have at the very beginning of the book where they struggle a little bit. People are against that person, but they rally troops around. They have special superpowers, and at the very end, they come out on top ahead, and they save the world. Great story. I mean, we see it all the time in movies and in books. If you read the story of Jesus Christ, it's a horrible storyline. It's probably nothing that would attract you, nothing that sort of makes sense in the whole storyline of who Jesus Christ is. You know, we have a story of a little baby that's born in a little town in the Middle East. Right? It's not, there's no pomp and circumstance to his birth. We have the prince of the UK, Prince William, had a baby, George. I mean, there's paparazzi all around just wanting to get a shot. People knew this baby was coming. They were taking pictures, following them around, all these different things. We didn't have any of that with Jesus. Jesus never had a caravan that rode into town with him as a baby, with trumpets blaring. This is the king. This is the new king of the Jews, the Messiah, the one who's going to save you. None of that. Absolutely none of that. He was not born into a rich or wealthy family. Jesus' birth story is not one of those flashy, dramatic Hollywood stories that you see on the screen. We just don't have that in Jesus' story. Actually, Jesus' birth is actually very nondescript. He's just a little baby. It's born like all these other babies in that time period. He has nondescript parents, poor parents. Yeah, he's born in this little nondescript backwater village, Bethlehem, and nothing was pointing to him as the savior of the world. So I dare say that if a person, you, might just overlook Jesus because there's nothing pointing to Jesus. And you might overlook him unless you were pushed towards Jesus or pulled towards Jesus or prodded to find out more about this person named Jesus, who was supposed to save the world. So Jesus, the story of Jesus is that he comes to all of us. He comes to all of humanity, for all of humanity. This little baby that we have in the story of scriptures that has come to save the world. Now, I don't know why God did it this way. He could have done it a million other ways, but he chose to do it this way. And I think maybe he shows us and he tells us that Jesus comes for all of us, no matter what your gender is, whether you're a man or a woman, you're young or old, no matter what your educational status is. You can have tons and tons of degrees and higher education, or maybe you just have a simple basic education. Jesus comes for you. Doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. You could be Caucasian, African-American, Asian. Jesus comes for you. Could be from any socioeconomic level. Doesn't matter. Jesus comes from you. Comes for you. And so when you think about Jesus and his birth, like, oh, yeah. So we look at this baby, and he's like one of us. He's a human born in a normal natural setting, and he's one of us. You know, and so every person is different. And every person comes to know of Jesus or hears about Jesus differently. And so, for example, we have the story of the shepherds. Shepherds who are just hanging out, watching their sheep in the field in the open night, doing their job, not noticing anything else except caring for their sheep. And angels have to come by, and angels have to say, hey, over here. Jesus, the Savior of the world, is over here. Come and see this baby. They would not have otherwise known that unless the angels called them to tell them that. And then we have the story of these wise men who, for years and years and years, because of their education and their curiosity, have been studying prophecies and readings. And they said the time could be very close, and they see the star in the distance, and they are put on a search, on a journey to find this new Messiah. And so, for one, I'm glad that we have these stories of the shepherds and of the wise men, because they show us the extremes of the spectrum, right? You have the shepherds, lowly, disregarded, poor, working class guys who get a visitation from an angel, right, to tell them that the Savior of the world has been born. And you have these super smart guys, rich, and they have been doing their own study, and they've been put on a journey. This whole spectrum shows us that Jesus has come for all of us. And some of you fit on the ends of the spectrum. Some of you fit somewhere in the middle. And Jesus has come for you also. And God does this because we're all different, right? So your inclinations are different than my inclinations, and your thought process is different than my thought process. We're just different. But even though in all our differences, we are similar in this way, and somebody said this about that similarity, said, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Let me say that again. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And so God uses us. He knows that deep down inside, he created us to have souls and spirits. And there's something about us that is not all about our bodies. It is about who we are spiritually, what our souls tell us. And God uses all these different things of this world to be able to point us and lead us to Jesus Christ. And so what are some of those human experiences that speak to our spiritual side that cause us to go on a journey to find Jesus? Well, maybe it's you're just looking for something. Looking for something. You know, some people just have this inclination that there's something missing in their lives. And some of you may have felt that also, that there's something, a piece or a puzzle of your life or things that are going on in your circumstances that is just missing. And so you're looking for something. Others have this sort of in-your-face experience. You might call it coincidence. But have you had that moment where you're driving by and something's troubling you on your mind or on your heart, and you see a billboard that says something that speaks right to you? Or someone has a conversation and says something to you. It's like, whoa, that was a coincidence. Or you see a rainbow. You know, it's like all of a sudden, all these coincidences aren't really coincidences, but they're sort of in your face and tell you that there's something more about life than what you're just simply experiencing. Some of you have this feeling that's deep inside of you that there's something more to life than what you're experiencing. You don't know what it is. You just know that you're just a speck on the spectrum of time. And all these things, there's something more to life than what you're actually experiencing. Some of you have an event in your life that has happened, maybe death of a loved one, and that sort of shocks you into what it means to be a spiritual being and where you're going to be at the end of time. Maybe it's your own near-death experience that you were this close. Maybe it's on the other end of the spectrum, the birth of your children. It's like, that's an amazing thing also. You just think about that. And all these human experiences speak to our soul, our spiritual side. So the human physical experiences speak to us as spiritual beings. So we're all on this journey of life. We all have the same starting points and the same ending points. We all start our lives at the point of conception, and we end our lives on this earth when we take our last breath. All of us do that. There's no exceptions to that. So really, life and the importance of life is about what you do between these two points in time. What are you going to do? What kind of decisions will you make that affect your life here while you live and breathe, but also the life that you live after you leave this earth? Christians believe that everyone lives somewhere forever. And that when you take your last breath here on earth, your soul, your spirit, continues to live on. I believe that Jesus Christ is better than anything or anyone this world has to offer. And, you know, as much as I spoke with the children about Jesus being the gift that keeps on giving and that he's better than all the stuff that we will ever receive on this earth, that's true for you also as an adult. And so sometimes we just don't realize that Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer. It just doesn't occur to us. And we try to find things that will make us happy. So for some of us, it's having more money, more comfort that provides. For some, it's being in the right relationship, having a spouse that loves you, having children. You know, it's having that particular relationship. You know, for others of you, it's a certain status in life, that if I only was working here, if I only achieved this, I would be happy. But all those things that we seek to find happiness out of in this world are only temporal, and they're like Christmas gifts. They're really nice and shiny for a while, but after some period of time, we lose interest, get bored. They don't give us the happiness that we once thought they would give us. And so that temporal happiness really eats at us over time. Because you can do it for a while, and then you realize this next big thing that's in my life, it's going to be temporary also. And so it eats into your soul. And this is why God has to pull some of you and push some of you and prod some of you towards Jesus Christ. Because you wouldn't do it on your own. God makes that happen. And he does that because he knows that Jesus is the ultimate and the permanent source of happiness for every single person in this room. No exception. Absolutely no exception. And the verse that we read earlier, the verse that you read earlier, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. So if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, if you've already said, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, I want you to just take a step back and think about what you're enjoying the most. Are you enjoying all the things that God provides for you the most? Are you enjoying the comfort and safety and security that God provides for you the most? I want you to remind you that Jesus is the gift. And that Jesus is the one that we should enjoy. Jesus is the one that provides happiness to us. And let's not stray from that. We should remember constantly over and over that Jesus is the gift. For those of you who are not yet followers of Jesus Christ, just focus in on one phrase here. And that phrase comes out of that verse, that God loved the world so much. God loves you so much. And there's nothing like it. And you can find and search for love out of this world in so many different venues, so many different avenues, but they all fall short. God loves you so much, he is willing to give you the perfect gift in Jesus Christ. And there's nothing like it. So whatever path your journey is taking you on, I would encourage you to listen to that pushing and the pulling and the prodding of God. And just simply say, God, what are you telling me? Where do you want me to go? What is it about this Jesus guy that should make a difference in my life? And we as a church hope and pray that you will not only find Jesus, but that you'll realize that Jesus is the gift, the perfect gift forever and ever. Let's pray together. God, as we come before you, we just are grateful for the fact that you show us and give us the perfect gift in the person of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that this world can even compare to that. I just pray that you would help people to remember that you love us so much that you gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. And because of that, Jesus is better than anything or anyone this world has to offer. So for every single person in this room, I pray that you would speak to them in their circumstances, in their human experiences, that would speak into their spiritual being. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you all please stand as we sing our closing song? First Noel,
the first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields when they keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked at it all and saw
receive this morning's blessing. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is faithful, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Would you please have a seat real quick?